name. Just turn to your neighbor and say, g'day, mate. That's not bad. That's not bad. All right, grab your seat. Tell them you look beautiful today. Yeah, come on. This is your great chance. Well, it's awesome. I hope you can keep up with my accent today. But turn to your neighbor and say, you have the accent. He's got the right one. We have the wrong one. No, you don't have to do that. No one's moved. I've noticed that. Just want to say it's a real honor to be here. And as Dr. Maiden said, you know, something happened between Jane and I and Mike and Mary, and just a real connection, in not just in terms of, you know, we meet lots of people, all of us that are in ministry meet lots of people. And so we know who, when God connects us and when God is just helping us, being ships in the night drifting past and saying hi as we go. And there are others that God wants us to do life with and do ministry with and make an impact. And how many know that America needs a move of God? It needs another awakening. It needs something profound and prophetic and apostolic to happen right across every state and city and territory in this great nation. This is the great nation of the world, and God wants to make it extraordinary once again. And he wants to, you know, when we came to America 2.5 years ago, it was the first year that more missionaries had come to America than America had sent to the rest of the world. And I believe what that is, and you can look at it in two ways, but the way I look at it is that for all the sowing that America's done, God said, well, I'm going to bring some people that have got capabilities, and they're going to come in to help bring a new chapter, a new era, a new wave of God in this great nation. And you are in a great place. And what great worship. I mean, BJ and the team, just outstanding, incredible. Kind of, you know, you. I don't know whether you appreciate it. I want you to turn to the person next to you today and say, we have the best worship in the country here. You really do. And the only reason it's not second is because I've been only going 2 years. But give us a bit of time and space. It's awesome. We just so love you, Pastor, and love the Spirit. And we know that God wants to speak to you. And this morning when I was preparing and just getting ready for the service and just in the worship, what great, great sense of God. I just really felt the Holy Spirit just whisper in my heart and just say to me, to tell you, not the person next to you, but you, that he loves you so much and that he wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. Now, you're blessed already because you're saved, but he wants to take it a whole lot further to a whole new chapter, to a whole new era. And he wants to know, can you handle the blessing he wants to pour out upon you? You see, when he blesses you, it's a blessing that involves being more fruitful, multiplying and increasing in every area of my life. In fact, when you read the word blessing in the Bible, what you read next to it is always fruitfulness. When God blesses, there's fruitfulness. When God blesses, there's increase. When God blesses, there's multiplication. God is so into this that he wants you to grasp it, because your next season is going to be far, 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 far more fruitful than the season you've had. And as good as that's been, God desires for it to exponentially grow to a whole new place. And if you can receive that by faith today, I promise you God's going to unlock doors and open your eyes and take away the shades and bring about understanding in an area that stops so many people from the harvest and the potential that God has for them. And I really believe what's going to be shared today is both prophetic, but it's faith. It's designed to kickstart your belief system so that you can expect God to do more than you've experienced up to now. How many would like to see God do more than what you've experienced up to now? Okay, that's 25 people. Really? Put up your hand if you're feeling too lazy. Ask the person next to you to hold up your hand for you. But if you want more, put up your hand. Come on, more, more, more. Yes, absolutely, right? God wants it. So this is what I want you to do. We're going to do an exercise right at the beginning. And God's, you know, I've gone right off what I was going to say. I'm just going to go with what I'm feeling. And that is, I want you just to take a moment. If God turned up in person today and he was here by his Spirit, but if he turned up in the flesh today and he said to you, Mary, John, whatever, Barry. And he said to you, you can have whatever you want. I've got a check here that you can write down the desires, the dreams, the increase that you want to see. What would you write? What would you put on that check? You've got the pen in your hand. God says, I want you to write down what it looks like. I want you to write down, for you it might be a family that you want to see just increase, as in you want to see harmony to an estranged, fractured family. And you'd write that down. That's my dream. For others of you, you'd be like, you know, I'm stuck at this job and I've been on the production line for a long time and I really want a promotion. I really feel like that's part of my increase. Every one of us has different things that we would write down, and I want to give you 10 seconds right now just to close your eyes. So just close them right now. And I want you to think what you would write if God said you can have more, you can have increase, and you can be more fruitful than ever before. What would you put on it? Picture yourself writing that check right now. Let's take a few moments and do it. It's a long check, so you can write many things on there. Fantastic, you can open your eyes. Now, God wants to bless you. See, the desires of your heart, He said, I would give you the desires of your heart. God is trying to activate in your heart right now, and I can sense His presence very strongly. He is trying to activate in your heart a new understanding of what He can do. So what I'm going to do today is spend the first part of my message helping you understand God's purpose. So this is not just a cliche. It's not just God wants to bless you. I want to teach you so you understand this is word-based. This is from God's word. This is something that is yours by faith. Then I'm going to explain to you why it is most people don't ever see the level of fruitfulness, increase, and multiplication that God so desires for them, so longs to give them. What is it that gets in the way? What is it that stops it? And it's not, we're not going to talk about sin today. We're going to talk about the practice of God's kingdom and what needs to happen in your life in order to possess what He has for you. It's a good thing He has for you. He wants to bless you. And He wants to bless you and multiply you and increase you. In fact, how many of you can remember, you probably can't remember, in fact, you can't remember for sure, but how many of you know how you were born? Put up your hand. Otherwise, we might have to go through the sex ed class straight away. Put up your hand. You know, sex and the presence of God can all go together. All right? So put up your hand. Okay. Well, this is what happened. 23 chromosomes in your mother and 23 chromosomes in your father had fellowship. They got connected. And when they got connected, they produced one cell. I think we got the picture up there somewhere. One cell. This is what you look like a long time ago. Turn to your neighbor and say, gee, you've come a long way since then. We all started out looking the same. One cell. But then because God wanted to put into your biology His theology, I want you to listen to that. God wired your biology with His theology, hardwired your physiology with His purpose and the way He wanted to demonstrate God often uses the natural to demonstrate the spiritual. And so God puts you and makes you. He could have made you anyway, but he chose to make you starting with one cell, unremarkable cell in its appearance. But then that one cell suddenly multiplied to two, then went to four, and then four to eight, and eight to 16, and 16 to 32, and then to 64, and then 128, and 256, and 512, and 1,024, and 2,048, and 4,096, and 8,192, and 16,384, and 32,768. This is as far as I can go off the top of my head. And then you kept multiplying. Yeah, come on. I deserve some applause for that. Yes, that deserves that. I'm doing the maths as I'm going. So here, so God, then you multiplied till you became, and suddenly millions of cells began to develop in your body. And then some of them became eye cells, and some of them became ear cells, and some of them became liver cells, and some of them became toe cells, and some of them just began, and you began to multiply. So you are the product of God's theology in action, starting with one and multiplying to billions of cells. In fact, right now, while you're sitting here, every 2 minutes, your body's producing something like 200,000 new cells. You're a marvel of multiplication. And God's such a God of multiplication that the universe is constantly expanding. He's such a God of multiplication that every time the wind blows across the world, this power of multiplication starts to spawn everywhere and every day. The world is multiplying. Our ability to feed 7 billion people comes from this very principle that we're able to multiply. Having a puberty moment, sorry. I thought I was over that. It's that preaching at the Elevate camp. That's what did it to me. And so you are a marvel of multiplication. You are marvelous. God hardwired that theology into your biology to tell you something. When Jesus spoke about the kingdom, what did he use? He used the seed. What is the amazing part about a seed? Yes, it can grow into a plant, but even more amazing, it's its ability to multiply and multiply. You put out a seed and it's able to multiply it 100 times over. Its ability to multiply. So Jesus used seeds to tell us that the kingdom is about multiplication, that God was about multiplication. Now let's go back to Genesis. So God's here with Adam and Eve, and he's ready to speak his first words to Adam and Eve. His first commands, his first instructions. What does God say? Genesis 1:28 says this. Then God blessed them. So notice the connection between blessing and the next line. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. This was the great honor, the great reward, the great blessing, the great promise of God to his creatures that he's created, his humankind that he's created. Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. Now remember, with Adam and Eve, they don't even know what this concept is. This is new to them. He's speaking into their ignorance. For some of us today, this is new to you, that God wants you to multiply, because you've been told all your life, if you can just survive, if you can just get through, if you just can make it to the other end, then you've done well. No, I've got news for you. God doesn't want you to survive. He wants you to thrive. He wants you to keep on going and multiplying and increasing and being fruitful in your emotions and your peace. The Bible talks about your peace multiplying. It talks about your grace of God upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. What's he talking about? He's talking about the multiplication of God's kingdom, of the omnipotence of God in your life. He wants to multiply into your life every kind of blessing. Attached to blessing is always fruitfulness, increase, and multiplication. So then, of course, Adam and Eve fail, correct? And then a few years later, Noah is selected. And so in chapter 9 of Genesis 9, we find God comes to Noah again, and Noah's starting again. God's wiped out the human race because of the violence, and so on. He's starting again. And what is the first thing he says to Noah in verse 1 of chapter 9 after the flood? Let's read it. It says, then God blessed. Notice blessing attached to the next outcome. God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, all say it together, be fruitful and multiply in number and fill the earth. Then in verse 7, God hasn't got a speech impediment, but he repeats himself because this is important. And he says this, as for you, be fruitful and multiply on the earth and increase upon it. The first command of God, the second command of God, the third command of God is to be fruitful, to be increasing, and to multiply. He put it into your biology. Now he gives it as a command, and he starts to speak into Noah's devastation. Remember, he's spoken into Adam's ignorance. Now he speaks into Noah's devastation. Why? Noah's just seen the flood like a tsunami come across the earth and wipe everything out. And as he surveys the damage and the waterlogged planet that's been left behind, God speaks life about his future into a devastated environment and a devastated landscape. Maybe the landscape of your life is devastated because of a divorce, or because of something went wrong, or because you've been in poverty, or whatever it might have been, or you've been let down, or someone hurt you, you've been found yourself in a wounded place and your life is devastated. Maybe you went through a bankruptcy or an emotional breakdown of some kind. Whatever it is, God speaks into your devastation like he spoke into Noah's, and he says, be fruitful and multiply. And let me say it again, be fruitful and multiply. Oh, I want you to get this. I'm so excited about God's desire for you to increase. And everything he wants to increase except your waistline. So God wants to bless you. And with blessing, attached to blessing, it's not, you know, this is not a blessing. This might be karate or something, I don't know. But it's not a blessing. Blessing is when fruitfulness and multiplication hit your life. That's blessing. Does that make sense? And so God wants to bless you. He wants you to multiply. So what happens in chapter 9 is God speaks into his devastation. He speaks into Adam's ignorance. Whichever category you're in, he's talking to you. Chapter 11 comes along, of course, it's the Tower of Babel story that we know so well, where these people decided to build a tower. Now, when I went through Sunday school, they told me it was because of pride. Man's pride tried to ascend to heaven. Well, it may be partly a story about pride, but it's far more than that, because Genesis 11 tells us the reason they built their tower was to stop multiplication. I want you to read chapter 11, verse 1. I think we've got it up there. Now, the whole world had one language and a common speech. Next. As men moved eastward, they found a place in Shinar and settled there. Everybody say settled. So they settled there. Come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. Next verse. This will make us famous and what? Keep us from being scattered all over the world. Their desire to build something big had to do with smallness. And God comes down and says, listen, do you understand how serious I am about multiplication, increase, and fruitfulness? I'm so dedicated to this cause. This is about my gift to humankind, that you guys have resisted me, and so I'm going to change your languages and force you to multiply. Why do you think God changed their languages? So they would multiply. Have you ever wondered why he changed their languages? He did it so they would multiply. Think about our human nature. Our human nature is looking for safety, security, and to settle. Think about these words. Have you ever heard these words? I can't wait till I get married and... Isn't it incredible the most vibrant people suddenly become old overnight when they get married? Oh no, we can't go out now. We've got to look at our roses. What happens when I get to close to my retirement? I can't wait to hit 65 and settle down. See, man's desire is to settle, safety, security. God's desire is adventure, progress, increase, expansion, move forward in our lives. Oh, this is so awesome. Genesis 11 marks the first time when man wrestles with God with his human desire versus God's desire for man. Man thinks by settling, by safety, by security, they're going to be better off. God says, no, safety, security, and settling is just going to cause you to die in a wilderness. It's going to cause you to die in a valley. And God wants you to increase, be adventurous, move forward, and say, God, hit me with the multiplication. I want to be a multiplier. I want to be an increaser. I want to be fruitful. How did God select the first priest of the children of Israel? By the person who had the most fruitful rod. It was Aaron. And the Aaron rods were so sacred to God that he put it as one of the artifacts in the Ark of the Covenant, so we would always remember that fruitfulness is at the forefront of God's mind. Wow. This is really awesome. Hey, we're doing like a Bible survey, Old Testament survey, right in about 10 minutes. Now, Genesis 11 is about man's kind of resistance to multiplication. So how cool is God? Listen to this. So he lets it go for a few years. They're out. He's been forced to multiply. And then God convenes some kind of board meeting. And he says, listen, these people resisted my desire for multiplication. We had to force them. So you know what? I've got something for the planet that's going to blow their minds. Chapter 12 of Genesis is the story of Abraham and Sarah. And he says to his committee, guess what? We're going to go find. We're going on a scouting mission. Let's go find the most barren man and the most barren woman, the two people that can't multiply. These guys just don't have a fertility problem. The factory is shut down. It's been demolished. There is no chance for multiplication to happen. And let's find this couple, whoever they are, and let's use them as the example for all of history about my desire for people to prosper, multiply, increase, and move forward. Wow. So he chooses these old guys, Abraham and Sarah, and he says, these guys can't multiply, but they want to. See, God's looking for some people that want to multiply but feel like they can't, to show his power, his glory, and his magnificence in you. Because Abraham, it says, when God comes to Abraham, it says three words that change Abraham's life. And Abraham believed God. Abraham believed God. And when he believed God, boom, something happened in the supernatural. Today, God is asking you, the Holy Spirit is asking you, will you believe me for increase, multiplication, and increase? Will you believe me? You may be devastated or you may be ignorant, but I'm speaking to you about your future, your life, and what I desire to do in your life. So after chapter 11, where they resist me, I'll choose some people to show everybody forever. So when we look back to find out what God's heart is, we look back at a couple who couldn't but wanted to and believed God, and suddenly their life proved to everybody else that God is a multiplier, increaser, and a fruitful God who desires to bless you with those things. And all they had was a baby. And yet he's the father of faith. And I used to think, why is that so amazing? Babies are amazing, but really? It's because they multiplied against the odds. They increased against the status quo. They were fruitful despite their past. They were moving forward despite their disappointment. And they kept trying to multiply till God granted them the most amazing request of their life. And they became the icons of faith that we draw our attention and our information and our encouragement from every single day. Those who believe have believed along with Abraham. Blessed along with Abraham. Does that make sense? God wants you to believe him that he's a multiplier. He wants you to believe him that he's an amazing God that wants to take the barren parts of your life and make them fruitful. And there are people here this morning that want to, but you can't. If that's you, would you just put up your hand right now? Is there something I want to, but I can't? It may be financially, it might be emotionally, it might be relationally, it might be at work, it may be at home, it may be in your social circle. Put your hand up. You want to multiply, but you feel like you can't. Well, you're the great candidate for God to do a miracle in, and we're going to pray for you at the end of today's service, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, and faith creates the opportunity for God to do something great, because faith is the currency of heaven that allows an exchange of your weakness for his strength to take place in your life in a moment of time ordained by the Holy Spirit if you'll believe him. Jesus' last command to his disciples before he goes to heaven is be fruitful and multiply. Go into all the earth, make disciples of all nations. God wants to do amazing things in your life. Paul writes and he says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. A man will reap what he sows. A woman will reap what she sows. 2 points. Do not be deceived. Guess what? Sometimes when we're sowing, sometimes when we're trying our best and we don't seem to be getting ahead, we can start to think and entertain the idea that this doesn't work. It's a great idea for a tele-evangelist to talk about giving an offering, but it doesn't really work in my life. He says, don't be deceived. Don't allow yourself into that negative thinking. He says, but God is not mocked. What does that mean? You can say whatever you like about whether it's true or not. It is true because God is God and he won't be mocked. Mock him all you like, it doesn't make any difference. A man will reap what he sows. A woman will reap what he sows. So now I want to talk to you about, do you get it now? Do you get this is in the heart of God? This is not just an idea, not just a good sermon. This is foundational. This is fundamental. This is the core of your future based on your belief and understanding that God's a multiplier, increaser, and he wants to make you fruitful beyond measure. So why is it for all of the teaching of impeccable theology about sowing and reaping, do we find ourselves not moving forward like we want to? When we talk to others, when I counsel people as a pastor, my heart goes out and I've considered and pondered these thoughts many, many times over many years. Why is it we preach about that? We teach about that. It's true. I believe it. But when I look at people's lives, the evidence, I see them sowing, but why aren't they increasing? I see them sowing, but why aren't they being fruitful? Remembering that Abraham and Sarah, you've got to sow in order to reap. Abraham and Sarah had a promise, but then they had to have sex in order to create a baby. Does that make sense? Three of you get that. Okay, moving on. Or you're just being too polite. All right. So I want to talk to you about why we don't move ahead like we should. Are you ready? So I'm going to invite up my volunteer to show you, I'm going to demonstrate it to you what happens. And so Mark, come on up. Give Mark a hand as he comes on up to be my demonstrator. You guys can come on over. I'm going to show you what's happening in your life right now and what happens in our lives all the time. Are you ready? Just put it down here, right in the front there. Fantastic. Now, how many believe Pastor Mark's a great man? So you can stand in there if you like. Or you're going to do, smart man. Okay. Now, he is a faithful man. He's a sower, right? You've got to sow in order to reap. You can't reap just by hoping. And remember, sometimes it's really hard to sow. Let me give you an example, and then I'll get straight back to this. Adam and Eve. Abraham and Sarah had to sow in order to get a baby. And when I was young, reading that story about them at 95 having sex, I used to think to myself, what a great promise. What a great opportunity. But as I've got older, I've realized, man, what God was asking them to do was pretty hard at 95. It's not quite as easy to have sex as it was at 25. Not that I'm 95, but you know what I'm saying? Who had the headache? Sarah didn't have a headache. Abraham had the headache. It took them a month on their planet to get to that place. I just like to make it real. Let's get down to the, you know, this is the message, Australian message version. And it seems so easy to sow, but sometimes it's really hard to sow. And you think of Abraham and Sarah, 9,125 times it's possible they had sex before they had their breakthrough. Are you prepared to overcome 300 disappointments in your life like they did? Every month was a disappointment, and keep on sowing till you reap. But then becomes millions. Suddenly when you break that damn wall, shouldn't say that here, break that damn wall. I meant the dam breaks. I didn't mean it. Strictly a water-filled dam, all right? When that dam wall breaks, it floods the valley, right? And so that's what happens is you break through and then suddenly the harvest comes and it's amazing. But right now, Mark's, it's time for his harvest, the season of his harvest. He's been a great sower. And so God says, I want to pour out into this guy. He deserves so much. He's been a faithful man, amazing. He's prayed, he's believed. And so the harvest comes. You ready? And because God's a great God, he pours in so much into our lives because he is a person of blessing, of magnificence, of extravagance, a God that wants to give more than enough. He's a God that wants to give a blessing that we can hardly contain. He is amazing. Look at that. Look at that blessing. But wait, there's more. This is a new TV ad, right? Wait, there's more. If you dial right now, the 550 caller, first 50 callers. All right. God's such a God of blessing. He says, I want to give Mark more. I want to give him more, more and more and more and more and more and more because I love him so much. I want him to reap a great and a massive harvest. Oh, I want him to receive that harvest. Yes, it's a great harvest. Wow, even the angels are tired now because the harvest has been so plentiful, been amazing. Now, Mark, you've been the recipient of a great harvest. It was awesome, hey? Now I want you to show the people how much you've got left of the harvest. A few drops. Just open your hands and let it just drop out so people can see, wow, you retain that much. You're amazing. I'm going to pray for Mark. Thank you, Mark, a hand as he takes a seat. So here's the deal. The harvest comes pouring out into Mark's life. But what's he got left at the end? A handful. There was nothing wrong with the harvest. It was plentiful. What stopped Mark from having more than he should have? His capacity. His capacity to keep what he reaped. So here's my question. Are you a keeper or just a reaper? The difference between increase, fruitfulness, and moving forward like God promised, a pouring out a blessing, is not praying more. It's about capacity. Can you handle the blessing of God? Can you handle the harvest that God promises? Can you receive it? You want that great job, but can you handle the pressure? I'll give you an example. My wife and I, when we were first married, my wife, I'm a reformed introvert. I've just finished Introverts Anonymous classes over the last 20 years. I'm a rehabilitated introvert, okay? My wife is an extrovert. So when it comes to affection and love and whatever, she likes to be affectionate wherever we are, in front of public, no matter whether it's in a congregation, about to preach, wherever it is, Jane wants to be affectionate. She's just a giver of affection. Now, I'm a great sower into love and marriage. And I've sown. Remember, this happened to me. I was sowing into my marriage, sowing into my love. I was being such a great husband. You would be proud of me, ladies. I was such a great husband. Sowing. I was a good sower. I was really a really exceptional sower. One of the best sowers. But I couldn't handle her being affectionate in public. Jane, not now. Don't. Stop. This is embarrassing me. What are the deacons going to say? Don't do that. No kisses. No. And so respectfully, she pulled back. And so about 2 years later, sometime later, I was coming home from work and I was a banker at the time and I was coming home from work and in those days we had a beat up old car and we didn't have any air conditioning in it. And I was dressed in a three-piece suit when that was trendy and fashionable. I wouldn't be caught dead in one now. But the point is, I had one of those square briefcases. Remember those? I was a man on a mission. Anyway, I was coming home from the bank and I was in my car without air conditioning and I arrive home and I'm sweating. It's a woolen suit and I'm sweating and my skin's a bit sensitive, so I'm sensitive to wool anyway. So I'm sweating and I'm itching and I'm feeling all of that stuff and that discomfort in me and I can't wait to get into my air-conditioned house because my air-conditioned house is going to bring relief and I can take off this clothes and suddenly get relief from my troubles. And so I arrive and park out the front of the house and I get out the car and I've got my briefcase and I'm rushing towards that front door to get into the cool breeze of that air conditioning. When about 6 yards from the front door, my wife spots me coming, opens the door, runs out, and jumps all over me. For some of you, you're wishing that would happen. Now, what happens? She jumped all over me and kissing me and cuddling me, and I'm so hot and so, and I'm like, Jane, just back off. Just give me a second. I'm dying here. So, okay then. So she wandered back into the house, tail between her legs, you know. About 2 years later, I know all the R's are there. Now, 2 years later, I remember sitting down with her and I said, Jane, I want to have a serious talk with you. She says, what? I said, you've really changed. She says, what do you mean? I said, we used to be so fun and so bubbly and so outgoing and such a great giver of love. But you've changed. What's happened? She goes, you're right, I've changed. You changed me into you. And now I'm the most boring person on the planet, just like you. And I remember saying to her, Jane, I'm so sorry, honey. I'm so sorry. Please go back to do that. And what had happened was this, folks. I'd been sowing in love, sowing in love. The harvest came. It came. But my emotional capacity was so tiny, it was like a thimble, that I couldn't handle my harvest. So when the harvest is gone, what am I left with? Just a little. And I wonder why I'm not feeling the love of the pizzazz and moving forward and increase in fruitfulness. It's because the harvest came, I could not, I was a reaper, but not a keeper. And for you, some of you, that's just going to change your marriage right there. And that was for free. I remember another occasion, I started a political party, right? They ended up having senators in the federal parliament. God blessed us. We were able to do amazing things. And I was the founder of it. And I remember because of that sewing, I worked so many hours. And guess what? I began to pour into the life of people and so on. And one day I got hold of the prime minister. That's like getting President Obama's personal mobile phone number. I was given it. And I thought to myself, I'm going to call him and invite him to come to our church and speak, and I like to do it. And I sat in my car for 10 days, that piece of paper with a number on it sat next to me, and I tried to dial probably 6 or 7 times, and every time I'd pick up the phone to dial, not now. He's probably doing something that's really important, like governing the country. Not right now. So the next day, I make call now. I dial 4 numbers, then I put it down. It took me 10 days, and finally, and I thought to myself, I had enough awareness to go, if you don't do this, you will regret it for the rest of your life. And I made the phone call, and he goes, hi, who is this? And I said, I told him who I was, and you probably don't know me, blah, blah. Oh, yes, I've heard of you. I said, I'd love you to come and speak at our church and talk to him. I said, you know, we love you, and blah, 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 blah. And he says, awesome, I'd love to do that. Tell your congregation, give my regards to the congregation on Sunday. And I put the phone down and went, whoo! You see, right there was a moment of instability, a moment of decision making. A harvest was supposed to come my way because I've been sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing. And the Bible says, don't be deceived, do not mock God. You will reap what you sow. But I was about to miss it because my emotional capacity couldn't handle the fear factor of calling the prime minister. The fear in my life was a capacity crusher. Does that make sense? Some of you have missed your season of harvest because of fear. Fear's made you end up with just a little bit to start all over again. And God says, I want to break that in your life. Realize it's capacity that's the issue. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is plenteous. Come on. Listen to this. The harvest, this is what Jesus said about the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. What? What is few? The capacity is few. Small amount of laborers, big harvest, we got a small capacity, therefore the harvest is not going to be as big as it could be. Do you see? Capacity is the problem. Capacity is a problem in your job. The capacity is a problem in your marriage. Capacity is a problem with your kids. Capacity is a problem. See, some of us are like this. I come home from a hard day's work and I don't want to be bothered by the kids. Well, guess what? That's a little capacity problem. Do you still love me? So I'm very lovable. Now, the point is this. God wants you to go to another level. I want to share this quick thought with you. That is this. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, go launch out into the deep and catch some fish? Remember that story, Luke 5. So we've toiled all night, caught nothing, but at your word we'll let down our nets. Do you remember they caught a whole boatload full of fish? In fact, it was so much fish, they had to bring their friend over with his boat. They had to fill both boats. In fact, both boats were sinking under the weight of so much fish. The Holy Spirit said to me one day, he said this, how many fish are in the Sea of Galilee? This is not a lake, a pond. This is the Sea of Galilee. How many fish are in the Sea of Galilee? 500, 5,000, 50,000, 5 million? I said, I'm guessing millions, so let's say 5 million. He goes, then why didn't they catch 5 million fish? Jesus didn't say, go catch 135 or 153. He said, just go catch some fish. The thing that stopped them from catching more than two boatloads was capacity. If he didn't have one friend, he would only caught one boatload. Imagine if he had 20 friends and 20 boats, he would have caught maybe enough fish to fund the ministry of Jesus for the next 20 years. If he had 100 partners, he would have caught more. What was the issue for Peter? Capacity. It's always capacity because a harvest is a certainty. If you reap, you will sow. Press down, shaking together, running out. It's going to happen. Why? Because God's promised that. It's one of God's laws. Put a seed in the ground. It produces a tree of apples. And many apples fall. Then more trees are created. Multiplication, increased fruitfulness is a part of God's divine order for your life. It's not just applies to nature. It applies to his children. Does that make sense? So I'm going to wrap this up. But I want to say this to you today. That God wants you to do more, receive more, believe more than you've ever had before, and understand that God wants you to increase. He wants you to multiply. He wants you to go forward, and he wants you to believe him that that's for you. Your lot in life is not determined by your ancestors or predecessors or people that went before you. It's determined by the principles of God's word that are applied by faith and received with understanding. And if you'll say, God, I'm like Abraham. I want to, but I can't. But I'm going to believe you against the odds for it to happen in my life. And God, my capacity's small, but I want you to increase it. I'm going to start working on my capacity, Every time my wife shows me love publicly, I'm going to graciously go, come on, give me more, darling. That's wonderful. That's fantastic. Even if it's irking me on the inside, I'm going to open my arms and receive it. Why? Because I'm training myself to be a bigger person. Oh, I'm excited now. Have you ever met a person when you say, you know, you're really good, and they say, no, I'm not. Have anyone ever met like that? You give them a compliment and they can hardly receive it. That person will never get a harvest of compliments. And what the compliments they do get, they don't believe anyway, so they don't keep it. It's a capacity issue of the heart, a capacity issue of the mind. There is a way around that problem you're facing. There is a way. God has always been the creative God that finds a way around everything. You've just got to increase the capacity of your thinking, increase the capacity of your feeling, increase the capacity of your believing, increase the capacity of your life and your systems, increase your capacity because God wants to give you that promotion. He wants to give you that job, but can you handle that job? There's a lot of people, have you noticed this? There's a lot of people that can get married, but less can keep married. There's a lot of people that can have sex easily, but not raise a child because the child is the harvest. And the harvest demands more, expects more, costs more than ever did the sowing. Oh man, Selah, think of that one. That is incredible. And I just want to say today, I want to pray for you right now because there are people here that have a capacity issue. And you're saying, God, I can see it. I'm the bottleneck of my own life. I can see that I'm not getting all the fullness of what you want. And I've got to increase my love capacity. I've got to increase my work capacity. I've got to increase my mental capacity. I've got to increase my creative thinking capacity. I've got to get rid of my negativity, criticism, and cynicism that's limiting my capacity. Some of us are under pressure. Let me just say this as I finish. Guess what? Pressure will do two things to you. It'll either crush you or it'll make you bigger, right? If you've got pressure happening in your life, put up your hand if you're feeling some pressure. Come on. You know what pressure says? You have a capacity problem. You don't feel pressure when the capacity is easy. You only feel pressure when the capacity is under stress. And harvest time. Some of you are in harvest and you don't even realize it because you feel pressure. So I'm going to pray for you right now. If you say to me, Ashley, I need my capacity to increase. I need to be enlarged. God, help me enlarge my love, enlarge my peace, enlarge my mind, enlarge the way I think, enlarge my bigness, enlarge me, just enlarge me. I want a capacity upgrade. I want God to increase my capacity. Or you're that like Abraham and Sarah, I want to, but I can't. I want to, but I can't. Well, God says, well, I want to bless you because my word right from Genesis 1, first command was be fruitful and increase. And in the Bible, barrenness is highlighted not to show the barren, but to show the miracle that happens out of barrenness, and he wants to do it in your life today. So if that's you, if capacity is the issue, or I want to but I can't, see, I want you to stand right now. I'm going to pray for you. We're not going to have a, it's not going to like a jumbo jet wind up. This is straight up. It's the time. I want to keep you, I don't want to keep you away from your beautiful lunch, but I do want to pray for you. Having lunch today might increase your capacity. And I want you to raise your hands to God, right? It's not coming from me. The Holy Spirit wants to impregnate you with visions and dreams. Remember, the language of the Spirit is visions and dreams. He wants to impregnate you with capacity. Some of you have said to yourself, I'm too old. No, you're not. No, you are not. My grandfather planted his last church at 90 years of age. My grandfather went blind at 91 and learnt Braille at 91. My father retired at 65 and became a senator in parliament. I got him elected as a senator in parliament. You're not finished, you just started. And there are people here that said, I'm too old. No, you are not too old, so get over it. Come on, capacity time, capacity upgrade, increase. Come on, you're in your best years, you're in your best years, you're in your best years, you're in your best years. The Holy Spirit's here to fill people full of faith. And if you'll believe God, it's going to start to happen. God wants you to believe for pay increases. Start to believe for financial upgrades. Why? Because it's about multiplication, it's about increase, it's about that. Are you a keeper as well as a reaper? You need to increase your capacity. So come on. Let's raise our hands and let's all begin to pray. And while I pray, let God just touch you with his divine anointing to change you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today for people that are here that need a capacity upgrade, need an increase and enlargement in themselves. Lord, like the woman in Isaiah 54, you said, sing, O barren woman, you have not borne any children. Spread out your tents. Make them larger. Increase your capacity because you'll have more children than the woman who bore children. Sing, I'm going to do a new thing in your midst right now. Father, I pray right now for this church, for this mighty church that's got a world heart. I pray that you would cause, Lord, millionaires and billionaires to rise. I pray you'd cause the greatest mums and dads that would create the greatest kids to become the next generation of world changers. I pray for promotions and jobs. Lord, I pray for love and marriages. People that love being shared but not being received. I pray for our capacities to grow, our hearts to enlarge. And I speak over people who want to but can't. And I declare the divine of God's love and favor. I speak a miracle in Jesus' name, and I declare in your name right now, change is about to happen. A new day is about to birth. Lord, we start a new season today of sowing in order this time to keep our harvest by increasing our capacity. We pray in Jesus' name. Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise in the house and a shout of praise. How awesome. Oh, I feel excited. I want you to take your seats for a moment. But I want everybody to close their eyes. I am so excited because God's about to do something. There's faith in the room. I can feel it. There's faith in the atmosphere. God is speaking into your spirit. Take this home. Listen to this again and again. But there are people here right now, I want you to close your eyes, that have never ever allowed God to be a part of their life. And until you do, you don't come under his divine umbrella of multiplication, increase, and fruitfulness. You're not going to see your peace multiplied. You're not going to see your life multiplied. You're not going to see the desires of your heart become reality with peace attached to it and contentment. But you can. All you have to do is ask Jesus to be your partner, to come into your life. And maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus. You believe in God, but you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. Or maybe you did, but you've been away from God. Or maybe you're not sure that if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven. That's often a great signal that you need to really connect with Jesus. And so I'm going to ask everybody in the room to pray a simple prayer after me, to repeat it out loud. We're all going to do it. And if you don't know Jesus or need to reconnect with Jesus or need to be sure, then I want you to pray along with everybody from your heart and mean it. And if you do, God will start a transformative process in your life that'll blow your mind. And it starts today. So everybody repeating this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to come into my life. Change my life today. I'm sorry for not including you in my life. But that all changes today. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. I want to follow you, your purposes, and your plan for my life. In Jesus' name. With every eye closed, every head bowed. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or you prayed that prayer to reconnect with God, or you prayed that prayer because you're not sure that you're saved, or you're not sure that you're in that relationship with God, then when I count to three, just so you know when to respond, I'm going to ask you to do a very simple thing, and that is to put up your hand. Why? Because I want to pray for you. I want to pray God's blessing upon you today. I want to pray that God will change you today. And we're going to join in prayer. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand. If that's you, on the count of three, you raise your hand. So that's me, Pastor Ashley. I want you to pray for me. One, two, three. Just put it up. That's it. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Hands everywhere, everywhere. Phenomenal. Over here, fantastic, fantastic. Well done, everybody. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. So when you've got your hand up, it's like you're reaching for something. Well, reach for God as I pray. Reach for Him. He's so close and He's reaching down. Grab hold of Him because He's worth holding on to for the rest of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus today, I pray for people with their hands raised. I pray today would be the beginning of the most incredible, exhilarating ride. It won't be perfect. Life's not perfect. But you promised to be with us every step of the way. I pray today would be a transformative moment that will have ripples into eternity. And Lord, I pray that you would help us share good news with other people around us and tell them what's happened in our life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give those people a big, 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 big hand. And let's give your pastor a big, big hand. Don't you love Dr. Mike?
Thank you, Pastor Ash. I'm going to send that message to a few hundred pastors in our movement. I really believe it's just so appropriate for this moment of time. It's the time of increase and multiplication. Amen. Download it. We'll put it on a podcast this week. Get the CD, whatever you have to do. We want to give you a chance before you leave to sow into Pastor Evan's life and ministry and family with a love offering. When guests come here, that they don't demand any money. They come up with a free will offering. We just want to bless him. Thank you. He also spent 2 days pouring into our young adults at Camp Elevate Remix. And so it's been a great blessing for us in this city to receive the ministry that he's brought. So as God's enabled you, let's sow into his life and be a part of a refreshing of the Holy Spirit for he and his family. Please keep them in your prayers. We're excited what God's doing. Mary and I will be traveling to be with them in April for a conference in Adelaide, Australia. We're so honored that they've invited us. It's going to be a wonderful time. So as God's enabled you and as you've chosen to, would you please sow your offerings, usher, go ahead and receive the offering. Altar team, as soon as you prepared your offering, would you please join me down front also?
The name.
folks that raise their hands to come to Jesus or come back to Christ, we would love to pray for you or spend a little time with you at the altar today and really just confirm and tell you about the tools we have, the resources we have at the church to help you grow in your faith. Would you all stand at your feet, please? One more time, just lift up your hands. Pastor BD wrote this song about praising the name, singing praise in the name of Jesus. Beautiful. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we worship you, adore you. Anyone that needs prayer today, we invite you to come down. If you want further prayer for any reason, those that raise their hands, those that want prayer for physical healing, or just because of a battle you're in, we would love to pray for you today. Make your way down, anyone that wants prayer while we sing this song.